First Corinthians, please, chapter 4. The Apostle Paul interrupts his teaching with a paragraph of personal persuasion. In it, I find buried the truth of a dad that most of us do not consider. A dad whose relationship with his children is not biological. A dad whom God uses to meet the most desperate single need in every child's life. Look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. Paul says, I'm not writing this to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. For you can have 10,000 instructors in Christ, but you can't have many fathers. Now, I have fathered you in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you, be imitators of me. This is why I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. He will remind you about my ways in Christ Jesus, just as I teach everywhere in every church. Now, some are inflated with pride as though I am not coming to you. But I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills. And I will know not the talk, but the walk of those who are inflated with pride. For the kingdom of God is not talk, but in power, in walk, in action, in lifestyle. The kingdom of God is not in talk, but in walk. What do you want? Should I come to you with a rod or in love and a spirit of gentleness? In these marvelous few verses, the Apostle Paul, who himself was a bachelor, and he tells the Corinthians that a few chapters later, who never married and had no biological children, yet he claims a position in the lives of these Corinthian believers as their father. Their father. And he urges that that relationship with them gives him both a responsibility and a right. The thing that first captured my imagination as I was reading through these verses weeks and weeks ago and planning the series of messages was Paul's beginning. He says, I write these things, and he's writing tough things. And if you think it's been tough so far in the first three chapters, fasten your safety belts, folks. Before Paul lays his pen down and finishes this letter, he will have said some upside-the-head tough things to these Christians. Now, he's already said to them, grow up. Grow up. You're babies. He's already said, mature. You're acting like mere men. You are full of pride. You are full of dissension. You are full of arrogance. Grow up. He's already said to them, you're missing God's best for your life. He's already told them that. He's just getting warmed up. He has some tough things here he needs to say to them. But he says it. He writes them. He sends Timothy to them. And he himself is going to visit them personally. Why? Because Paul took his responsibility as a father very seriously. Now, I hope for some of you this morning, I hope you have a direct connection. That is, I hope that your biological father has told you the gospel, has lived before you a life of discipline and orderly godliness and gentleness, and has introduced you to Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And through him, now you have a heavenly father. I hope your biological father performed all of those functions well. My sense is, many haven't. My sense is that biological fathers have been content to focus upon the physical needs of their children, the emotional needs of their wife, and just get it done. Some of them have added to that a layer of responsibility. That is, they have brought you to a Sunday school where Sunday school teachers try to teach you things that are true in the spiritual realm about life, death, heaven and hell, sin, the cross. But my sense is many biological dads fail to prayerfully, passionately, patiently bring their biological children to Jesus Christ. But God in His mercy and grace has given you, perhaps, a different father. Someone that God brought into your life, like the Apostle Paul. Someone, well, we don't have to theorize. Paul gives us a concrete example. He says, I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. Now remember, Timothy was not biologically related to Paul. Timothy's dad had failed, evidently, to teach Timothy, his son, the things of God, the things of Scripture, the things of eternity. He may have been a good provider. He may have furnished a stable home. He may indeed have loved Timothy's mother and perhaps even loved Timothy faithfully. We don't know those details. But when Paul met Timothy, Timothy needed a father to fill the void in his life that his biological father had failed. Timothy needed someone who would come alongside him and introduce him to Jesus Christ. Open the Scriptures and teach Timothy what God says about Himself in the Word. Patiently instructing him till he, Timothy, committed his life to Jesus Christ and then his life to serving Jesus Christ. And Paul says, Timothy is my son. He's faithful. Who is your father in the faith? Now, you got to have one. Unless you have never personally received Jesus Christ as your Savior and been born into God's family, if you haven't done that yet, then you do not have a father of your faith because you have no faith yet. And while you may sing and dream and think and even scoff about the things regarding the Heavenly Father, the Creator, the one who made you, yet the Scripture tells us and our lives demonstrate that you have no relationship with that Heavenly Father. You're still a rebel. You're still a stranger. You're still an alien. You're still far from Him. And you desperately need someone like Paul to come along who is not your biological father, but who is fitting into your life and being used of God to meet that need. Who is that? I hope that today you will remember your faith father. Think back. Who was the one who explained to you the gospel of Jesus Christ? Who was the one that took your hand and led you to open your heart to Jesus Christ? Who was the one that encouraged you to trust God with your life? Who was the one who modeled for you what it means to be a New Testament Christian? A person of integrity, a person who didn't bend with the will of the wisp, a person who wasn't tuned into the society around them with its changing values and attitudes, but one who stood upright and straight, one who was consistent, one who in their life gave a pattern of good works, of maturity, of godliness. The person who comes to your mind when I ask the question, of all the people you've ever met, who is the most like Jesus Christ in your memory? Who is that person? Now, while we owe our biological fathers respect and honor, we owe our faith fathers an incredible debt of love, appreciation, and respect. I hope today you won't have a Hallmark kind of Father's Day. You know, what the world around us does with this day is incredible, just incredible. They don't know what to do with it because so many are, at best, absentee fathers. At best, disconnected. And so they make this a frivolous day. And they talk about which TV father was the best father. And they talk about how are you going to spend your Father's Day and what do you expect from your kids, your wife, your family. Today, I hope you'll change that. Today, I hope you'll think with respect upon your earthly father, even if you would not recognize his face and have never met him and don't know his name. Yet I hope you'll thank God that through that human dad, you entered this world. But then I hope you will do some serious praising God for your faith, Father. And as Paul says in this passage, Paul says, your faith, Father, doesn't want to shame you. He does want to warn you. What a delightful attitude. And as he closes the passage, he suggests, when I come to you, I can either come to you with a rod or in love and a spirit of gentleness. And I think all of us would prefer love and a spirit of gentleness. And Paul offers that because Paul knows that the faith walk, trusting God, responding to Scripture, learning to pray, becoming selfless in our attitudes, thinking with the mind of Christ, all of these evidences of maturity, all of these byproducts, all of these results of walking in obedience to Jesus Christ, all of these meet stiff resistance in our world. And it's not unusual that we fail. As a matter of fact, the more we learn about the possibilities that God has planned for us, the more we sense in our hearts how little of those possibilities we tap and how easily we are diverted from God's call upon our lives to maturity, to the fruit of the Spirit, to selfless service, to heroic convictions. Who's your faith father? Thank him today. And in closing, let me remind you that Paul is right on when he says, as your faith father, Corinthians, I want to warn you. I want to warn you. Here's what I'm warning you. And he had just completed this in the previous chapter. I want to warn you that someday, as a child of God, as a believer, as one who can truly call the Heavenly Father, my Father who is in heaven, one who through Jesus Christ has experienced the forgiveness of sins, one who has every confidence in eternal life, a home in heaven, all of those blessings and benefits that are ours as children of faith who believe and trust Jesus Christ. Paul says, I want to warn you, and he just did it. He said, I want to warn you of two things. Number one, whatever privileges you have are a gift from God. See how he says it? He says it right there in that earlier passage. He says there in his same chapter, chapter 4, and he says in verse 7, for who makes you so superior, King James? Who makes you differ one from another? What do you have that you didn't receive? If in fact you did receive it, Why do you boast as if you hadn't received it? What's he saying? He's saying, he's reminding us, he's warning us that we who have come through Jesus Christ to the Father and have been forgiven and blessed and are sons of God, we have been endowed by our Heavenly Father with many incredible gifts and abilities. And sometimes that makes us different when we compare ourselves among ourselves, and so we're warned not to do that. But if you have a talent, a gift, an ability, if you have a privilege, if you have a position, you have a reputation, it's a gift of God. Remember that. I'm warning you, don't look at your distinguishing characteristics. Don't look at them as if you yourself made that difference. Don't do that. It'll take you down the path to ruin. It will blunt your effectiveness. It will destroy your faith. Paul is saying, I'm warning you, remember, God is the one who has blessed you. God is the one who has graced you. God himself is the one who's swimming, who's running, who's bicycling, and we sit in the seat in front of him, benefiting from his grace. And if it's a gift of grace, then don't boast about it. Don't be arrogant. Rather, humbly accept that gift that distinguishes you and dedicate it to the Lord. The second thing he's warning them about a little earlier in that chapter is you are going to stand before Jesus Christ and you're going to give an account of how you lived your life. And what you do now has eternal significance. That's what he says. He says, take heed how you build your Christian life. Because all of us are going to stand before that fiery trial at the judgment seat, the Bema seat, and our lives, our works are going to be tested by fire, and it's possible that you can so trivialize your opportunities, so waste your opportunities, so selfishly live your life that your whole life will go up in smoke. And oh yeah, you'll be saved because salvation is never based upon your works. You'll be saved, but you will have flitted away opportunities that could have been eternal investments. And those of you who are faithful, you'll receive reward for works well done. See, Paul's warning them. Those are tough things to say to people. If you have a high intellect, it's because God gave it to you. If you were born into a family of privilege, it's because God chose to put you there. If you have a great personality, it's because God made you that way. You, Christian friend, are the repository of God's best gifts. Don't think arrogantly you earned them, you deserve them, and that they're yours. They're not. They're gifts in trust. Your faith father will remind you of that. And your faith father will remind you that someday, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord, and every work, every choice will be judged. And that which is done faithfully, humbly, obediently, will reap back to you an eternal reward. So, who is your biological father? Maybe you don't even know him. Thank God for him. And find a way, if you can, to say thanks to him. Who is your faith father? Is the God of creation your heavenly father through faith in Jesus Christ? Good news is, he, the heavenly father, is always faithful. Our Father in heaven, thank you this morning on this Sunday when we focus our thoughts and minds upon the exalted privilege of being human parents. What an incredible high calling to be a father, to be a mom, to be a parent. What an awesome responsibility to take this tiny eternal creature entrusted to our care, to care for, teach, train, hopefully, prayerfully see that young child come to faith in Jesus Christ and then to nurture and encourage a life of godliness, righteousness, gentleness, fruitfulness. To teach that little one to trust the Heavenly Father who never fails. But perhaps this morning, my friend, as you listen to my voice, you have not gone through that step of faith. You have not committed your heart and life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Please do that now. Please do that now. Believe that Jesus Christ, as God, suffered the condemnation and judgment for your sins at Calvary. He arose from the grave, and he offers forgiveness and life eternal as a gift that he earned for you. And it's a gift. The gift is himself. Open your heart right now. You might pray something like this: Lord Jesus, I dare to believe that you're God. I thank you for dying in my place upon the cross. I confess to you I'm a sinner. Come into my heart, my life right now. Forgive me of my sins. Make me a child of God. Pray that prayer. And then at the close of the service, share that prayer you prayed with someone close to you. They'll be thrilled. If you've already made that decision this morning, are you a faith father to someone else? Is there someone you should be praying for? Someone you led to Christ? Does God want you to become a faith father? Someone's spiritual prayer partner? Someone's evangelist telling them the good news? Someone's model of what it means to be a godly man, a godly woman? Today, find your faith father, Christian friend, and thank them. And if you cannot think of a child that you have fathered in the faith, ask God to today put upon your heart a burden to do so. And then to lead you to someone like Timothy who needs to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I hope you have a wonderful Father's Day. I hope this is a very special Father's Day. First, because you know the Heavenly Father, thank him for his faithfulness, his love, his generosity, his gifts of grace. Thank God for the biological father, if you know him. Respect him. Honor him. As God tells us in his word to do, his failures need not be repeated in your failures. Thirdly, your faith father. Who is that? Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Now, Father, help us in this day to honor you. Thank you for this portion of your word and for Paul and Timothy and all those who have modeled the faith for us and who have brought us the good news of the gospel and prayerfully guided us from darkness into light, from sin into salvation, from being a child of darkness under the dominion of Satan into the liberty and freedom of being a child of God, knowing our Creator as Heavenly Father. Make this a blessed day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.